Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Yes, it is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, where we find you all the weekend winners. Mick Sharkey would normally be strutting around like a peacock at the Magic Million Sales Complex and late at night doing his best work in all of the bars, but he's not up here this year. He's decided to stay home and focus on the form for all of the RSN listeners, and he's confident. How are you, Sharknado?
Very well, Michael. Yeah, we set up like a little mini broad beach here at Shark Towers last night. We got a nice bit of steak, and Juzzy cooked that up, and then I paid her three times what the steak was worth, and then went out to the shed and had a couple of beers in the shed, and then had a couple more, and then the girls kicked me out and told me it was time to go home, and then on the way home, Daisy and I had a punch on. So it was good. It was just like being up on the Gold Coast.
Only missing the Suva on the way home, and that is a typical on Broadbeach for M Shark. We're going to have a full look at the Magic Millions meeting as well. Nath Exelby will join us just after 9:30. But it's a good card at Flemington as well. Standish, I like what they've done moving the Standish back, and they've got a pretty good field for it too.
Yeah, they have got a decent sort of field and a few straight track specialists there. Not sort of your typical Group 1 horses, but, you know, the astrologist, Tal Vorsen, Maliva's showing a bit of ability down the straight. So a bit of new blood there with Maliva. So, no, a good competitive race.
Oh, I know it's been hot in Melbourne. There's been a few thunderstorms around, but I'd imagine Liam O'Keefe had to put a fair bit of water on the Flemington track for tomorrow, and he joins us this morning. How are you, Liam?
Yeah, good, thanks, Michael.
Have you had to put much on throughout the week?
Yeah, we put 32 mil on. We had that good rainfall last Friday, Saturday, 26.4 mil all up there, and then we put on another 32 mil since then. We just held off last night because there's some thunderstorm activity around this morning and this afternoon. We're actually getting a little bit of rain now, so we're on a good four, and the running rail's in the 9-metre position.
There's been a bit of racing over this summer period at Flemington, so how's the track holding up?
Yeah, it's holding up well. We've just progressively moved the rail out 3 metres in between each meeting to get the horses on the fresh ground. So we're in the 9-metre position for tomorrow. Walks with a fairly clean cover across. Just the two straight races. So I think they'll come down that middle to outside part of the track. And, fingers crossed the rain can stay away.
With the rail being moved out, do you think they'll stick to the fence, or will they maybe get out in some of the circle races?
Oh, I might edge off later in the day, but certainly no reason too early on, Michael. It's nice, thick, lush cover of grass, and if it doesn't rain on the day, I'd expect them to stay the inside half for most of the circle races.
This is your first Friday Form Focus in 2022. We need to hit the ground running. Liam, have you got a good thing for us?
I have, Michael. Good each-way bet tomorrow. Race 6. Number 13, Divine Diosa. The track spies have been out during the week and set the track alight. So one for Simon Zara, kick off for a winner here at Flemington.
Oh, I love it. Race 6, number 13, Divine Diosa, $7, $2.50. We'll try and find Simon Zara, who's been doing some good work out here at the sales complex. Stable's in form. So let's hope 2022 starts a lot better than the way you were ending it with those selections, Liam. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe, track manager there. Sharknado, let's get stuck into it because we want to spend a bit of time on the $10 million day as well. And, gee, this first race at Flemington tomorrow is intriguing. We've been waiting for English Riviera to make its debut since Glenn Ingram, the trial foals guru, declared about a month ago that he has never seen a two-year-old trial more impressively. It was backed in from 50 to 1. Into around about $11 off the back of its trial and the spruik from Glen Ingram, and it's into $2.40 making its debut tomorrow. Maximilius is another one that's been highly spruiked from its jump outs. It's at 3.10 for Mick Price, Mick Kent Jr., Jamie Carr. Waterworld, a first starter from the Peter Moody stable, also has been supported $4.80. And then you're out to Jamara, who is one of the race brigade and has some pretty good form lines. How deep do you think this two-year-old race is, Sharky?
Oh, I think it's another, for the second week in a row, it's a really nice two-year-old race. But English Riviera, the best two-year-old jump out he's ever seen? Well,
I don't know about that. Was that New Year's Day sort of areas? Was he just recovering from a big session? The Bald Eagle?
There's a little bit of,
the horse can win. It was a nice jump out, but as my daughters would say, I think he's adding a bit of mayo there, Dad. I really thought that Maximilius was a good pair of jump outs from what we've seen from him lately. The thing about him, though, he still looks a little revvy, like he just wants to sort of get on with it a little bit and just sort of get running, which is not ideal. He's been trialling in blinkers, so maybe he just needs some, needs a little bit of race experience. He's been sitting off them in the jump outs and finishing off hard. I like that. He's not just a jump and run sort of one-dimensional horse. English Riviera's two jump out wins, they've been good. She was given a little rein last time and won by Space, but what was behind her, I don't know. Waterworld looks like it's got ability, won by Space at Pakenham in a jump out there. And the horse that I'm interested in seeing maybe towards races over 1,200 and 1,400 is Edwin. I think he's got real ability, and I love that debut run. He was just warming up late, had no speed early, over 1,000 metres. So I think this will be another, like last week's two-year-old race won by Philosopher, which we were keen on. I think this race will be a good form race. Just not sure if I want to charge in. We'll monitor the market on Maximilius, and if we get... What price is he at the moment?
310.
Yeah, 310 to 350. You know, if they keep revving into English Riviera and we get a little drift there on Maximilius, I might have a little throw at the stumps on him.
All right. Well, let's get it from the inside word, because Tony McAvoy is the trainer of English Riviera. Got a good team racing tomorrow, both at Flemington and in Adelaide. And I wonder how the battle's been up here on the Gold Coast. Good morning, Tony. How are you? We've lost him. We'll get him back in a moment after that big build-up. English Riviera is $11. I can't believe it's $11 for the Blue Diamond. What do you make of Jamara? Because the form line behind Jackano, which is one of the smartest two-year-old wins that we've seen, it might be able to tie in some of these two-year-olds as we're heading towards the Blue Diamond in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, he's got rock-solid race form, Jamara. I'm not sure as the quality improves towards a Blue Diamond where he's going to level out, but he's giving his owners some thrills. Best Bloodstock, a little business there run by Jared Magnabosco, who's a Gold Coast local and a really good fella. I saw he bought into a $700,000 culture in the week. I didn't know Jazz was going that well, so I might have to tap him up for a loan next time I'm in town. But Jamara will give that crew something to shout about. Tomorrow, I'm just not sure he's of the same sort of level as English Riviera and Maximilius.
Well, we've got Tony back on the line, and he is with us this morning. Good morning, Tony. Are you well?
Yeah, good day, Michael. I'm good, thank you.
English Riviera, there is a very big boom on this filly. How excited are you about seeing her debut tomorrow?
Oh, look, it's nice to have her at the races, guys. We've been pleased with her all the way through. She shows nice talent, but, track work and trials are one thing. This is her day of reckoning to see whether she can stand up to it, but she'll run a good race and be improved out of it.
Tis the season, Tony, to get carried away with jump outs as the Blue Diamond gets nearer, and I think a lot of people on the outside looking in sort of see a performance like what English Riviera turned in her latest heat and think, oh, wow, this is a superstar. How do you go as a stable to temper the enthusiasm that sort of is out there in the public space? I know this group of owners are very experienced and you've probably got them well schooled, but can it be a little bit of a challenge at times with these two-year-olds?
No, not at all. Mick. People have got an opinion. We're pleased with her. I don't think she beat much in that jump out. Time was sort of okay for the day, but we're not getting carried away. We think we've got quite a nice filly, and we'll let her do the talking for us.
Do you think she's better than Extravagant Star, who made a really nice debut at Geelong last week?
Mm.
Probably. Yeah, I think at home, if I put them together at home, I'd say she'd probably have the upper hand on Extravagant Star, but not much in it, not a lot in it. Extravagant Star's been very, you know, she's pleased us all the way through as well.
Some of these straight races can be tricky, especially having your first start down the Flemington Straight. How do you think she'll handle that? And what's her racing style? Where would you like to see her?
Oh, well, we'll just leave that to Jai. You know, she shows a bit of speed in her jump outs, even though that's jump out tempo. But if something wants to go mad, we'll let it go. And if nothing wants to and she's there and comfortable, we'll just let Jai ride the filly, not the race. And the straight, yes, it's a question mark. It's a question mark, the straight, for sure. And we'll know more about that after.
Tony, in race four, over 2,000 metres, you've got a couple of useful middle distance prospects there. Race Against Time and Tukey 12. The former probably should have been right there in the finish at the Valley. Didn't have a lot of luck at a crucial point.
No, Nick, he didn't. He sort of... Momentum wins races, as you know, and it's just taken away from him a touch. And I thought he was very good, and I, like you, thought that he might have figured right in the finish there. And but look, they're very lucky to be running at Flemington, these two. they're not really headquarter horses, but look, it's the right race, and maybe there's a, you know, that race in Tasmania. If they could step up today, they might go down for a Tassie Derby, but. But they both need to pick it up, really.
Gee, it'd be a good training performance if you can get Gamekeeper to win the Standish first up. Do you give him a chance?
Look, he ran really good in the Ori Star Fresh, this fellow, season or two back. So he's been very frustrating for us. He's had these pod lesions and sort of pain in his joints, and we've just given him plenty of time and brought him along really slowly. He's ready to go to the races. He'll need the run, and you'll see him there tomorrow. He's looking a bit like the trainers, and I wouldn't be backing me or Calvin in this race.
Would you back yourself to beat Calvin?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
How's the battle been? How many have you managed to secure up here?
Look, we've been able to purchase 7 horses, Michael. And 6 of them are under the average of the sale. And I think we've really worked very hard to find value in a sale that's very hard to find value. Because it's just out of, you know, like 30% up and a huge, you know, sell rate. So I think my team have done a tremendous job to find these horses, and we've bought very, very well.
Oh, good luck over the weekend. Best anywhere in Australia tomorrow?
Probably Yulong Jet at Camperdown.
Yulong Jet at Camperdown, race one. That'll be the moneymaker for us. So good on you, Tony. Best of luck.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
As I go to the app to have a look, race one, number 5, Yulong Jet.
you and I
mark
both.
It not up. Mark it not up. Come on, Quinny, get that up for us. All right, so Sharky, just recapping first race, you're going to go with Maximilius on spec. Hopefully, looking for a bit better value in the first race, but it's certainly going to be one of the most intriguing races of the day. The second race, Decent Rain's been airborne. Squid Game is out. So now we have Decent Rain, a 3.30 favourite ahead of Tractable at $3.40. Victory Bay, the stablemate, is at $4.20, and Philadelphia Storms at $8. Only a small field here, but, gee, these horses are all in form, Sharky.
Yeah, they are. Decent Rain should have won last time. I just wonder how much, you know, she's been up for such a long time. I wonder how much left she's got in the tank this prep. She'll be in the finish. She's got to carry weight. And the, what I will say is the depth of these races is getting a little bit stronger around her. There's a couple of boys here that are probably hitting a peak where she's probably peaked and is just sort of trying to maintain. Philadelphia Storm is a raw sort of scopey horse. Didn't know a lot about it at Flemington, but still won well and ran faster time than Lighthouse, although they did go pretty slow in that Lighthouse race. So I don't know if we read too much into that time, but I like him. He's got good talent, and I think he'll go to a better class than this in time. Attractable is the horse that I think is the most likely winner here. Both of the wins this time round, Mornington and Sandown, the times have been good. He ran faster, nearly a second faster than the three-year-old maiden at Sandown last time, and he was faster than Yonce at Mornington, and she came out next time and won in town. So yeah. I think the form and the times all stack up around a tractable. He's got a good gait. He's going to lob, I would have thought, midfield at worst. Big track horse. I think this fellow, he's got room to wind up and really go through the gears at Flemington. I just think he's a great bet. Interesting that Jamie Carr is on Victory Bay with the blinkers on first time, the stable mate, as opposed to a tractable, but I'm going to stick with a tractable.
Yeah, well, everything Peter Moody is touching at the moment is winning, so it'll be interesting. If we see the big moves wandering around here, we'll grab him and get his pick of the two as well. So you're with a tractable to win the second at $3.40 in the market at the moment. Race number three is over 1,700 metres. Take out the five Designer Chef. The favourite here, Somerset Maugham, was good last start. It's into $2.60. Under my spell, $3.80. Dark Dream's been honest in recent starts at $4.60, and then you're out to Pancho at $6. So another race where those at the top of the market, there doesn't seem to be too much between them. Is Summer Morn getting in a bit tight at $2.60, Sharky?
Yeah, way too tight for a horse that's sort of had some issues and hasn't won in a long time. Leave me out of that. I know Jamie Carr's probably helping to trim that price up a little, as is a good gate. But no, you can have Somerset Maugham. I couldn't back him with any confidence. Dark Dreams around the mark. He's not getting the job done, though. Odeon probably looks like he's come down a couple of pegs this time around. Under My Spell, she's having a good prep. She does give them a big head start and runs on late. Does that mean she's going to run a really strong sort of 17 to 2,000 metres in time? I don't know. I reckon a mile's about her go. She needs them to run along, I think. I'm not sure if they will. Pancho's the horse that... there's no value in the price, $6. He's not any sort of odds where I'm being enticed to bet. But you look at his form, on top of the ground, that's what he wants. And he probably wants that 1,700 to 2,000 metre range. He beat Grand Promenade over 2,000 metres at the Valley going back last August on a good three, and it was a really good win. I think over the summer months, he is capable of winning another open handicap-style race. He wasn't too bad for 1,400 first up, well short of his best. He's the top pick, but just only for the sake of a tip. I couldn't be less interested in betting in this race.
All right, so you're putting... which one was it on top? Pancho at $6, but no value.
Pancho on top. Yeah, right. Pancho.
All right, let's get to race number four. We'll do this race, take a break. Not too far away, we'll look at the full, the features and the quaddy legs at the Magic Millions as well. Can't Go Wrong is very well named because in its short career it's done nothing wrong. At $4.80. Dunkerry's at $5.50. Fighting Arrow, $7. And then you're out to $7 for Elta Zameen. So this galloper... two from two. Thought it was a really tough, strong win last start in a race where there could be some form. I've got a bit of a rap on Sione, even though we haven't seen much of it. You've got that, or you've got the Stony Creek form of Dunkirk, which are the main two. And Chris Calthorpe's been... these horses have been racing so well of late, so well under Chris. He's got another good one. Who do you like here, Shark?
Yeah. I'm with Kieran Ma and Dave Eustace. I think one of their two will win the race, and I'll be backing both. Can't Go Wrong, super win... on debut at Sandown over 1,400. I thought there was a lot of merit in that maiden. And then he went to a small field, 1,600, was sort of hemmed in for the early part of the straight, only got out sort of midway down the straight, quickly built revs and was very strong through line. I thought it was a really, really good win. And all he wants, this horse, I think, is a bit of ground, and he gets it here. I like him from a good gate. I'll have my main win bet on him. And the other win bet will be on El Zami, a son of Deep Impact. That's exciting, seeing a Deep Impact out of a good pivotal mare running around off-season at Flemington. Newcastle win was great. He was three wide there throughout, always working, always facing the breeze. They levelled up in the straight. He ran to the lead and took over. And he was there to be beaten for pretty much the last 300 metres, and they couldn't get past him. And I thought on the line he was as strong as anything and probably just starting to draw away again on the second horse. So I thought it was a really good win. I like those two. I just want to test that Stony Creek form. I want to test the Terang form. I think the two Mart Eustace runners are the standouts here. And we heard from Tony McAvoy about where he thinks Tukey 12 and Race Against Time are. They're lucky to be running at this track. So I think we hone in on the Mar Eustace team here and have win bets Can't Go Wong and El Zami.
All right, I like the play. The two-bet strategy, race number four. Going to take a break in a moment. Sharkman, can you produce some magic and make us millionaires so that we can buy some horses up on the sale? Tip the card tomorrow, and I need something that's dirty out wide as well. That's Tom from Tamworth. Mm. So, Sharky, we do
There's
want something.
Plenty of dirty out wide on the Gold Coast.
Oh, dearie me. You did very well last week on the punt, and we might take a break after that. Speaking of, I haven't seen Gene Wall. Where is Gareth this morning? Hopefully he'll be here a little later. You're listening to the Friday edition of Racing Pulse, live from the Magic Millions. It's good to have your company on this Friday. A few more SMSs filtering through. Barry from Collingwood, he says, "Boys, I've got one for you today and tomorrow. Geelong Race 4, Perfect mm-hmm. Darling, new stable, Tom Dabernick, get on. And at the Gold Coast tomorrow, very keen on Snap Dancer as the best of the day." Perfect Darling, Barry might be onto something here. Perfect Darling's been $6 first up for Tom Dabernick today, into $3.80, Geelong Race 4, number 10. So good luck to Baz there with that selection. All right, let's get into Flemington tomorrow. We're up to race number 5, which is not to be missed, we see as the favourite. And having a chat around the sales complex to Nick Ryan a couple of days ago, he was very, very confident. It's at $3.20, fundraiser at $4.20, Blaze Jowski $5.50, here to shock at $6. Nick basically said if he brings the form that he showed his last two starts, he should just be winning. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as clear-cut as that. He covered ground in the Chester Manifold and kept finding the line. It was a really brave run. It was a super run, especially jumping out of a benchmark 84 at its previous start. So that's the thing. He made a fair old leap in grade and was right up to it. Comes back down in grade for this. A shade, you'd say. It's an open handicap, but, you know, he's on the minimum. I think he'll be right there in the finish. The horse that I reckon is over the odds here is Just a Canter. He's a listed winner, a Group 2 winner. He's third in a Group 3 Munga and third in a Chatham Stakes. So that's pretty good form for a race like this. And after Alana Kelly's claim, he's in at 57.5. So he's pretty well weighted here, Just a Canter. I wouldn't be surprised if the 8-year-old ran a really good race. And the other one, and he's a bit of a curious horse in this race, because when you look at his recent form, his best form, it's all over a mile and a half in France, and some of it is on, in races that were pretty solid. Scarlet Tufty, one of the worst names I've ever come across. He had two runs just as a sighter sort of late in the season and early this season at Caulfield and at Moonee Valley. He has jumped out twice, and both of those he has just loped around under a good hold, just cruised around for fun. They weren't the strongest heats I've ever seen, I will say that, but the horse had plenty to give. 1,400 metres first up, I'm just not sure about that. He is a 1,400 metre winner, but it was on debut in France back in 2018. So since then, I don't think he's had much action under 2,000 metres. He is a horse I'm very wary of here. He's pretty hard in the market at $11 last time I looked. If he was something like $21, I'd have a little throw at the stumps. But $11, he is rock bottom odds.
All right, but we're backing Just a Canter at $8 or $9?
Just a little one by two each way, I reckon here, Miguel. I think that's the way to play this little event.
Right, so a little something each way, Just a Canter, hopefully to build the bank for the quaddie, because the first leg of the quaddie is race number 6. And in this race, at this stage, the scratchings are 2 and 20. Over the Sky is the favourite, but it's $5 a field. Tricky start to the quaddie. Nicolini Vito, $6.50. Divine Diosa, good push from Liam O'Keefe's at $7. And then we're down to Atten Man at $9, and Worthily's an interesting runner first up here at $10. Just on Worthily, what do you think about this import having its first start tomorrow?
I don't know a lot about Worthley. They tried him in an Epsom Derby, you know, nearly two seasons ago. He's only been seen once since. It was a solid run, you know, as a favourite at Lingfield. It was a pretty ordinary mile and a half race. He's got an obscure pedigree. I just want to see him here. He doesn't strike me as a super sharp horse. So let's just have a look at him and see how he goes. Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace are supreme at getting these European imports in form, and Australian Bloodstock can find a nice import. So on that score, I think you have to be a little wary, but I suspect most likely he'll need a run or two.
All right, so who are you tipping in the first leg of the quad?
I'm hoping that the holiday has done Liam O'Keefe well and that he is seeing them like beach balls, because I think Divine Diosa is a great little play in this race. She's beaten I'm Thunderstruck. She's run second to a mare that I really, really like called Foxy Frida. I think she's a group winner in waiting. And she ran a really nice race to I'm Thunderstruck sort of at level weights at this track over 1,400 metres. She's an effective horse, fresh. Jump outs have been good. I think she is in this race up to her ears. I know it's a big field. I think it's a thin race, so as far as the quad is concerned. Over the Sky's got ability. He's progressive enough. He's clearly had some issues. A five-year-old with only eight starts. I'm a little bit wary of horses like that. Celestial Soul. Now, Dean Lester made a great point this morning that this horse has finally been gelded. I hope it's not the snip too late with him, because sometimes it doesn't really have the effect you want it to at a certain age. But he's a horse that's always had good ability. Early days, Robbie Lane trained him, I reckon, and he was near enough favourite in some pretty good two-year-old races. So the talent is there. Let's hope for the connections that gelding brings out the best in him. I think you only need three in the first leg of the quaddy. Right, 1, 12 and 13, and I'm backing Divine. Yeah. Only three. Don't worry about the size of the field. We've got to be confident. We just got to launch here, I think, and have some confidence. And Divine Diosa at 850 and 290 is one of the better each-way bets on the card.
Well, she's into $7 now, Sharky, after Liam O'Keefe went early. So $7.250. Only three in the first leg of the quaddy. 1, Over the Sky. 12, which is the value play, Celestial Soul, and 13, Divine Diosa. A nice juicy start. Sharky pretty confident in the first leg of the quaddy. The second leg is the feature. It's the Group 3 Standish over 1,200 metres. Churath is first up for Manny Raymond and is the equal favourite at $4.80 with It's Our Time. The Astrologist at $5, Maliva $6, Halvorsen $7 are the main ones in the market. And Maddie Raymond, we spoke to earlier in the week. She was confident that she's fit and ready to go first up. Will improve out of this, whatever she does. Nathan Bennett was uber confident yesterday about the Astrologist, and it was a good push from Robbie Griffiths. Halvorsen this morning as well, Shark.
I am leaving out the two favourites of the quaddie. I don't think Churath is a 1,200-metre straight horse, and It's Our Time, I'm not sure it is up to this grade. I am running with 4 in the quaddie here, and I'll probably wait to the day near a race time to see how the market settles before having a bet. I reckon the Astrologist, you've got to, if you're having win bets in the race, he's got to be one of them. He's just so effective down this straight track. And yeah, listening to Nathan Bennett yesterday on the drive up to the farm, he was, you know, just really sensible in the planning for this horse. Just keep him at the straight. Like, that's where he races best. So if we keep him there, there's a fair chance he'll be winning or earning really good money. So I hope that he, for a great story, I hope he wins the race, because then it probably gives Leon and Troy Corson's cause to maybe have a throw at the stumps in a new market. He may not level out to a new market, right? He's probably going to fall short of that class. But for a small syndicate, well, it's not small now, he's got 40-odd horses, but for a syndicated horse to race in a race like the new market, I think that's a great story, and it'd be a nice little sideline over the summer months if the Astrologist could get there. Halvorsen goes so well down the straight, we know that. Kensington Run was just as good as his listed win on Cup Day. We need to put Maliva in, because she's got a 50% winning strike rate. She's a multiple stakes winner now, and she's just so foolproof. Lobs up on the speed, has a good kick at the end of her races, and stays on strongly at the end of 1,200 and 1,000 metres. So it's a good little test for her. 1,100 metres rather. 1,200 metres is a good test for her, but I'm not saying she can't do it yet. And the other one we mentioned there is Outlaw's Revenge. He does need 1,200 metres. 1,100 was too short. Run off his legs behind Murabi. Late work was okay. He's the one that can improve. I want to back the Astrologist and Outlaw's Revenge, but I'm just going to wait on that market. Hopefully they keep backing Tirath and It's Our Time and I get a little bit more fat on my plate. For the quaddie, just 4, 1, 2, 5, and 9. And if you wanted to be a bit brave and trim up, you could probably cut Maliva just on the risk factor at 1,200. I'm just keeping her in there with that winning strike rate.
All right, 1, 2, 5, and 9. The Astrologist, number 2, which is Hal Vorsen, the 5, Maliva, and the 9. Outlaw's Revenge, but Sharky pretty keen on the Astrologist and Outlaw's Revenge in the Standish tomorrow. Race number 8 is over 2,000 metres. Another big field here. Mark Holt is the $6 favourite. Convict Sam, $7. Redwood Shadow, $7. Do we need to go a bit wider here, Shark?
A little bit wider. I think there's some absolute trash in this race. I can't believe Look Closely is $41. I've been with him after his first up run. We tried him at 100 to 1, you'll remember, at this track. Yes. Over 18. He just didn't have a lot of luck that day. Caulfield run, we went again. There was money for him, 100 to 1 to 61s. He ran really well and was oh so close behind Daquin Sweet Jr. I think $41 is a crazy price. I'm not mad keen on him, but I just think as a little each-way play, he's as good as anything in this race. I think the other one that's at a silly price is number 13, Running Cloud. Top of the ground, leading 2,000 metres. Like, he ran really well at Flemington last time behind Unique Artist. Why can't he run well again? Lockie Nindorf's claim, he knows the horse well. He's ridden at its last three starts. I just think he's in there with a winning chance. Convict Sam, Midas Prince, yep, they're all in the game. Mark Holt, I'm probably going to risk from 18. They can go around without me. And the other one that I want to get in if he gets a start is 17, Mock Taffy. I know it was only a Sandown Maiden that he won last start, but these imports, sometimes they can just keep progressing and surprise you a little bit. His form in Ireland was pretty average, but his two runs in Australia have been pretty solid. So he might be one that can continue and keep going through the grades. And this is it's a pretty low benchmark, 70, let's be honest. As far as the quaddie is concerned, we're going 1, 5, 6, 13, and if it gets in, 17.
All right, 1, 5, 6, 13, 17. Good value from the Shark. Look Closely, it's $31, $9 the place. A little each-way spec there, and Running Cloud around about $18 as well. Let's quickly whip through the last, and in this race, take out the 8. American Angel is the $5.50 favourite ahead of Picaroon, so it's another open race to end the day, Sharky.
Yeah, very, 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 very open, this one. I'm going to, again, be a little bit cheeky and just cut it back a bit. I thought Picaroon, Mick O'Leary, when he brings them to town, you have to pay attention. When he brings them to Flemington, you've really got to pay attention. Like, this horse was punching around at Bordertown and Panola in its last four or five runs. And winning there, went to Morfettville last time, was held up, needed a run, got it. Jacob Opperman snuck it through and it hit the line really, really well. I don't think this is much tougher than that race. There's a little each way option. It's in the game. American Angels in the game, number 12. It's winning, but you know, I don't know. I've never really been a fan of American Angel. The other horse I think you need to include is Sweet Carolina, number 7. Tempo was against it last time. Great win first up. Tempo was just all against it at Flemington, and there's a few of these that come through that Stay Gold race, including Stay Gold herself. I just think Sweet Carolina should be beating those home if there's a relatively even tempo. Modern Millie is the other one for the quaddie. I'm coming home on 3 only. 3, 7, and 10.
Gee, 3, 7, and 10. Brave. Modern Millie, the 3. Number 7, which is Sweet Carolina, and Picaroon for the Shark. Sharknado, stick with us. We'll get your best at Flemington at the end. We'll take a break. When we come back, Nathan Exelby will be joining me live here from the Goldie. We're going to look at the features on the $10 million Magic Millions race day. It is great to have your company. It's a little overcast up here. This is probably this week the most average morning we've had, but there'll be no concerns about the track tomorrow. We're due for good weather, a hot day tomorrow, and it will be a brilliant day for the Magic Millions. $10 million in prize money, and Nathan Exelby from the Brisbane Racing Club and Sky joins me here live at the sales complex with Sharky. A look at the features. How are you, Nath?
I'm very well, thank you, Michael. I'm a bit disappointed Sharky's not here to critique my outfit today, but otherwise I'm quite well.
Can you see his outfit? He's on Zoom. I'd like to take a photo of that. He's got a...
minimalistic.
A singlet that David Gatling would not even wear. And he's got more tats showing from his shoulder than Dusty Martin. So... he looks like he should be on the Gold Coast.
Looking very Gold
sitting
Coast.
At home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same bloke who gave me a scathing critique 2 years ago.
Hey, Nate, after the Barry draw, we've had that couple of days to seep in. I'm really surprised that the market's taken a set against Coolangatta, and she's out to even money now.
Yeah, well, I sort of expected her to get to that even money mark, and but nothing else has really firmed up, have they? The second favourite, Russian Conquest, I thought she would trim up given the good draw, but she's still holding solid at $7. They had the Club Calcutta last night, and they got to 130,000 in the pool for the Calcutta. So 80,000 to the winner. She sold for 40.
Yep.
Robbie Waterhouse bought her for 40,000. So that's an even money, but he also gets 26 or 13 if she runs second or third. So it's, that would suggest she's going to start better than even money.
Yeah.
At those prices.
Absolutely. Are you with her? Are you still as solid as you were after the barrier draw?
Yeah, look, I think she's the most logical winner. In terms of having a bet, I still think that $7 about Russian Conquest on both totes is a good play. I thought she would shorten up from that. I just don't see how Russian Conquest doesn't run well from the good gate and what she did in Sydney last time.
Shark has been putting bricks on Coolangatta every week for about the last 3 months since the market opened. Are you just as confident now, Sharky, one day out as you have been the whole way along?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the barrier draw just gets you a better price. She's a really natural speed horse that'll begin well and roll forward, and she'll put herself right up there. Yeah, there's going to be speed underneath her for sure. But are those horses as good as Coolangatta? Probably not. I think that last run, I know that there are a few people that wanted to knock it, but it's a tune-up. You know, that wasn't grand final day. This is grand final day. That race will have her spot on for this. I think she is still a very strong win bet for me. And, yeah, as X pointed out, Russian Conquest, you know, if you want to back something else in the race, you can back her to beat Coolangatta and you're getting a solid price. Or you can back her to run a place, which I just think she does from four. And you're getting $2.10 on the tab this morning for Russian Conquest to run a place. Like, that's a great bet. You got hits at it too.
Favourites have been, you know, over time.
Extraordinary record in this race. I think it's about 40-45% that they win.
The last couple of years, though, there's been a couple of roughies. Is there an outsider that you give a chance to?
No. I think this has got a really long tail. And as a lot of years it does, and interesting is Shark's thoughts on this too, but this is a race that does have a long tail most years. Most years we get a good horse come out of it. But it's not a race you'd say has huge depth in most years, and I think that's a similar scenario this year.
What about you, Sharky? Any, or is it,
as
we've said, maybe a bit of a thin race outside of the top?
I think the barrier draw has thrown a spanner in the works for horses like Stupendo, who I thought ran really well up there on the coast behind Mishani Spartan. I thought that was a nice pipe opener for this, but from 19, you know, Willow's really got his work cut out there. It'd be cool if one of the Heroic Valors ran well. You know, a horse like Heroic Sun, could it run a cheeky sort of race? It probably doesn't have the class, but as we heard earlier on from Barry, you know, there's horses at all ends of the market at these Magic Millions sales, and the progeny of Heroic Valor are certainly rewarding those that took a punt on him last year.
Yeah, or if one of the Mishani horses hit the board.
I asked. I asked Les Ross. I said, "Do you send those horses through the sail ring under the cloak of darkness, and where no one else sees them?" But you know, to $2,000, I didn't know that was even a price anymore. But
no, insane. Well, we wish them all the best. What about the 3-year-old guineas, guys? This is a lot more open, and again, barriers have played a big part here as well. Jermaine is the favourite here at $5. And King of Sparta at $6. I Am Lethal is the one who's been the worst off at the barriers. And it's a $6.50 chance. Who do you like in the guineas, Nath?
I think I could have six goes and miss. But I will say this, 14 of 21 winners of this race have jumped from double figures or worse. So the barriers tend to be overplayed in this race. Last year we saw Aim and Amish Boy come from second last and last on the turn to run 1-2. I think they'll go hard again. Look, I think I Am Lethal's a chance because I think he's the right horse at the right time coming good off that last start Kenso win where he really hit the line strongly and the sectionals late were good. But this is a race I'll back a few and hope to get a result. And you have to take a set and sort of like Jamea, she missed the first up run. They scratched her off the heavy 10 first up when the track was downgraded. I think it's a tough ask, 1,400 first up when she's not proven at the trip. I'm interested in mixed thoughts on that.
Starman was good too last week.
Starman's good, but he beat legless horses too.
Yeah, okay.
But he did it well, and that was 1,200. Like, I'm not going to talk anyone into it or anyone out of it. It's just a really tough race where I could have six or seven goes and still miss.
How good is Indiscreetly?
She's very good. She's still got to pass a vet this morning. That's always a worry when they come up on those press releases and say that. I'd love to get a list of those horses that have to be vetted again and see their record. I don't think it'll be that flash. So this was never really a plan for her. They've sort of stumbled into this race because she's got a run. I think she's very good, but I suspect she's very good 1,600 and possibly even further.
Sharky, who do you like in the guineas?
Oh, gee, before the barrier draw, I was really keen on Mimi Lagarde. I think she's a horse with a little X-factor turn of foot to this sort of grade, and her win last time running down Far Too Easy, who's been going really well. It was something else. I love the win, but from 22, like she gets back anyway, but it takes away all opportunity to maybe have her three quarters of the way back through the field. So it makes life really tough for Mimi Lagarde. Construct, I could see running a really good race. I could see King of Sparta winning the race. Jarmaya's got the ability, but you know, as X pointed out, they missed that run with her. It's probably not the ideal preparation for her. Socialist, who chased home I Am Lethal, I think is capable of finishing close to that horse here. So there are quite a few in this race around that, you know, $20 mark that I could see running really well. It's an open guineas. A bit like it was last year, I guess, with Aim storming home and winning at a price.
Well, Will Bourne tipped Socialist to us on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was $41 then.
Yes.
It's into $23. Said that her piece of work on Tuesday morning was absolutely brilliant. So plenty of tips. So who have you got on top?
I've got I Am Lethal on top. I've definitely backed Rhapsody Rose. It's a formula up here. If a horse fails at Eagle Farm, you just put the pen through it. Doesn't matter. And she went to the post at $2 or a fraction better in that race, and now she's sort of $34. She has since had a jump out where she jumped out behind Isotope and Totally Charmed, and she was just right on their heels. 1,400 was her best ever performance. She was competitive in a strong size last year behind Tiger Malay. I think she races well, Rhapsody Rose.
Okay, that's a good value selection there as well. They're the two features on Millions Day. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have a look at some of the other major races and get X's best at the Goldie and Sharks best. And you've still promised you've got that little out wide number for us as well. SMSs are coming through. Don't forget that, Sharky. All that still to come on Friday Form Focus. We've got Nathan Exelby, the local form guru, and Mick Sharky here looking at the features on Magic Millions Day. Outside of the two million-dollar races or the multi-million-dollar races for the 2 and 3-year-olds, let's go back and have a look at the race number four, the TAB Magic Millions Fillies and Mares. Snap Dancer's the favourite here. Brookspire, $4.20. And then you've got two of Mytho's horses, Crone and Salatine, who, after he tipped it at 100-1, did the right thing by the RSN listeners last day. Who do you like here, Nath?
Tony Golan had to make a call. I think he was at a Bucks party that day, Mytho, and the consensus were, no, we're run on the heavy 10, so they made the right call. I think Kiku is a great chance in this. She needs the speed on, but she'll get that. There's speed there through She Can Sing, Georgie's Pride Vulping. She was terrific in the buffering at Doomben. 1,300, that's my one query, but I know she's going to be really strong to the line, and I just thought she was terrific there at Doomben, and I'm happy to have something on Kiku and the fillies and mares.
All right, Snap Dancer's a horse you know well, Sharky. Do you like Snap Dancer?
Oh, every man and his dog wants to tip your snap dancer, but I just think she's coming in short enough. I know she ran well in the race last year, and she's well drawn here, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think she's the rusted-on moral that many will tell you that she is. I'm with X. I reckon Kiku's a great chance. Crone's a Group 1 winner, and it's in the race. You know, often that's a great formula to follow on this race day. I think a horse that's over the odds, that ran really well first up in Sydney, second up, probably just a bit close and just a bit one-paced. On top of the ground this time, Incredulous Dream, number 7 at $17, I think will run much better than the odds.
All right, at number 6, Incredulous Dream, $17 there in race 4. Talking to Sprooks, there has not been a bigger Sprook all week than away game in the snippets, and it's into $3.30 by Ross's out. Are you in the away game camp?
I am, and like I love to want to be with the locals, and I think Isotope's the best horse in the race, but geez, I think it's just an ask for her. She's 273 days between runs. She's had the colic surgery since then. She missed a run there on New Year's Day. She's drawn a touch tricky, whereas away game's just going to get this beautiful run, and I think she's very hard to beat based on what we saw first up at Caulfield.
Do you like away game, Sharky?
Yeah, I think the market says it's a race in two, away game and Isotope, but I think you need a better price on Isotope because of those risks. You know, colic surgery, it's not a minor situation. She's a very, very good mare, Isotope, and it'd be a great story if she was able to come back and win. But from a bet perspective in this race, away game is the way to play.
All right, the money continues to come for away game. Magic Millions Cup. Does Kemantari complete the fairy tale?
Surely he can't win two in a row. He was well in at the set weights and penalties last time, and I think he really relished the wet track that particular day. I think 61 kilos. He races well, but I think there's going to be one there that can beat him. So I've got to mark $9 the field. I thought it was an impossible race.
Can I have a bet with you?
Oh, you want Kemantari? Yeah.
No. I was going to back. Even though the barrier's horrendous, if Apache Chase gets some luck,
he'll make his own luck. Yeah. He'll go for it. I just feel like he'll be a sitting shot at the end because he has to do something from that gate to get to where they want to be. I'm prepared to spec Bo Rosser in this race. I thought he was just plain there at Doomben, but it was a sticky type of track. I think 1400 now looks suitable and. I look at Kemantari and Apache Chase, and would they have been winning a Group 1 Memsey? No. And this horse, arguably, was stiff in that race, and he's getting weight off both of them. So that's where I've landed in this race.
You a special K-man, Shark?
No, I'm not. There's good speed in this race. You've got Holyfield, you've got Frosty Rocks, you've got Apache Chase. I think it sets it up for something that's tough and strong and can close. Bo Rosser, I like him. I think he'll improve. But AIM, number 8, who won the Guineas last year, just forget the run last start. He does not go a yard on wet tracks, this horse. And I think at $34, we know he's a winner at the track. He's capable. I think he is the horse that you could back 1 by 3 each way, and he's going to give you a really good shout that last 150 metres.
Paul Snowden gave him a good push this morning as well.
He was a similar price when he won the Guineas last year, I think.
All right. For Quaddie punters, the last, a lot of people are saying Miami Fleece could be a good thing to end the day, Nath.
I don't think she is. I'm in the camp that I'm going to risk her. Like, two starts back, Steph Thornton got the great run off a wide gate. She got into a beautiful spot. Will that happen again? I'm not sure it will. She doesn't have blinding speed anymore, so they either have to really ride her hard to get there or risk being caught three wide. So I'm against her at the price, and I thought Dr. Why Not was terrific last time. It was a wet track, but I think the stable's really, he's had a change of stable his last two starts, and they've really turned him around. He gets a gun run, and Lady Banff was good last week. They're the two I'm going to back to beat the favourite.
I want you to be honest. I've got to ask you, my boy, in the Sub-Zero confrontational, he goes around $1 million race. Any chance, Nate?
How far do they pay down to, Michael?
Well, no, he's guaranteed. He's going to get something. But can he get any of the bigger change?
I would be surprised if he could win the race.
He's potting my horse, Sharky. He's potting my horse. If he runs top 5, we'll be
rightly
happy.
Rightly so.
Sharky, give us your best at Flemo.
Best at Flemington, Attractable Early and Divine Diosa each way. And if you want one out wide, there's a sneaky little one at Cranbourne tonight in race 9. You've got to stay up a little bit late, although that won't be a problem for you guys. You'll be out on the tear. Race 9, number 10, I Am War, each way at $31.
Whoa, hang on. Wow. $31. We'll talk more
they'll
about build, that off air.
They'll want to know build where this a has monument come from? To me if this wins.
Oh, Sharknado. Enjoy the weekend, Sharky. We'll see you back in Melbourne town. What's your best, Nath?
Thanks, boys.
We'll go away game. We'll go away game. In the snippets.
Chips in. Nath, appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy Magic Millions Day.
Thanks very much, Michael and Michael.
Nathan X will be joining us there. Time for the news. On the other side of this, Nev will take you through the preview for Geelong and Cranbourne today. Gareth Hall has just arrived. He's around here. We've got plenty more to come live from the sales on the day before the Magic Millions.